When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, y'all? Kofi Kingston here, and I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks, depending on what that drink is, preferably non-alcoholic, you know?
How's it going? I'm the Celtic Warrior, Seamus.
Wardlow here.
Soda.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Maple syrup.
Bye-bye.
I would never have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Yes. Let us give a nice cheers. Thank our bartender at Fans First Sports Network. We love you guys. Thank you for keeping the dive bar lights on. Otherwise, it'd be very dark and you can't find your beer in the dark.
You could, but it'd be a mess. And they don't pay me enough to clean up the bar.
I mean, I'd have to do it. It would never work. You know, it's, oh man, you just don't even want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Da, 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 da. Wait, that's
the A team.
That's the A team.
I don't think we have music for this.
Well, that's why we have to kind of acapella it. Then I did that, so it counts.
Okay. I don't think traditionally. But now that we're on
traditionally,
a network,
yes, but
we should.
Yes, we should.
We should talk to the boss man
and producer lady. Up. You know, producer lady makes all the rules. Look at us being demanding.
God, someone died and called me Phil Brooks.
Divas, just fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah. So, if you guys are new to the show, this is our annual first time ever Boozy Awards that we do at the end of the year. generally, because obviously we have our Wednesday show with those guys. They talk about the mainstream product. We talk about the not mainstream product. So Thursdays is always going to be that mesh of you might see things that are from ROH, NWA. TNA,
we've got new guests coming in that are not going to be your normal, you know, shoot craziness. We've got so many people that are, you know, we're trying to book in. Mm-hmm. This is it, you know.
Yeah.
We are the indies of the IWC. There we go.
Mm-hmm. We are better than the PWI 500, let's just say, or their ranking for the year. So, yeah. So if you're expecting that kind of stuff, you probably aren't going to dig this episode. But before we go on to start, did you, it's your first one?
Mm-hmm. It is my first one.
What are you, because you always have to pop your cherry once. So what are you anticipating?
Ooh, baby. What am I anticipating?
Yes.
A dumpster fire.
Really? Wow. You're a little bit more positive.
Oh,
you're a little bit more I guess hopeful than I was.
Hey, if you expect the worst, then if it turns out better, you're not wrong and it's good.
Absolutely. So why don't we get it started?
I'm so excited for this.
Sometimes
my opinion matters to someone.
Yeah, if I get some kind of like nasty tweet or something in my Instagram DMs or something from one of you wrestlers that feels butthurt, then have a look at what you're doing, or it, people who are booking the product. Don't look
reach
at me.
Out to me. If you want to talk about it, we will keep it classy. We will keep it positive. Mm-hmm. You know, love you, we'll or hate you.
On air. I'll invite you to come on air.
You can call us out openly.
Mm-hmm. Or if you happen to go on the Jericho Cruise, I'll find you. But I don't even know who's going to be there other than Matt Cardona and...
And the God, Matt Cardona.
And Chris Jericho. And, oh yeah, and then CJ Perry, Hot Flexible Wife. Look, I wonder if her husband is going to be there, because I'd love to meet Miro. But anyways,
Look, all I'm going to say is, please, CJ Perry, if you can get me an autograph of her, she was one of my favorite CSI characters.
Of course I will.
Thank you.
I will find her. I love her. She's like amazing. I love her. So let's start it off. So we went from the bottom to the top because that's what Drake did.
Compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
We did positive. So, now we're working our way back to the top of the bun.
So our first boozy of the year is, you're drunk. Go home. A superstar or storyline that you do not want to see anymore. Did you tell me one?
All right.
If you have a top three, it's okay.
Oh, no. I have one. I have
one. You only went with one. Oh, see, I had hard times with some of these ones.
Yeah, I know. Like, Will Ospreay is like right there.
No.
But we're going to have to close off that category. I went with the storyline because I don't think that I saw anyone that was really that bad that needed to just go home and stop the business. I did not like the Violent by Design whole thing with Impact, now TNA. And a lot of it came from the fact that it's been done before, and this was done in a way that didn't make any sense. Sanity. Which is pretty much the same faction. It was the same people, pretty much. That was done way better 2 years ago. You know, and it took Sami Callihan to bail that out. And when you have to bring in somebody that talented to completely shift your story, you know it's not good. And I didn't find it enjoyable. It just seemed kind of off. I mean, it fell flat on me. You know, okay, these guys, that's what they are. They're being another brute faction. Yeah, we had that with Aces and Eights. We've had that everywhere else. What makes you different? Nothing. There was no float to it that meant anything to me. You know, I was indifferent. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I just didn't care. And I think that's the worst feeling to have for any plot line.
Wow. I hate things. But we knew that.
Yes. No. Yes. Oh, I got more hate later.
There's hate now too. But I will say this. Obviously, we know that I would put Ocean Spray up there. So you know he's part of this. But there were things other than Ocean Spray that I really was, oh, hell no. Things I don't want to see anymore. And okay. I have a good two of them.
Let's hear it.
Number one. I don't want to see any of this devil bullshit in these masked people anymore. It's dumb. God. It should have ended a long time ago. They've drug it out way too much and it's ridiculous. And it doesn't do anything there's nothing of value. That
what
does
the kids say? It's so cringe.
It is. The second one is it's more the person really than the storyline, but it all kind of adds in together. I am fucking sick of Roderick Strong and that Adam or whoever it is, you know, Renee, I'm sick of that. Okay. It's annoying, fans at the shows are annoying with this bullshit. It's got to stop. It's not funny. It is just absolutely annoying.
And
it's awful. It's awful.
It's a poor use of such a talented guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like this one more than the devil one, just because that is the devil thing. Yeah, we get why they're doing it, blah, blah, blah. You know, mystery general manager, XYZ. We've seen that kind of shit before. But taking a guy like that and pretty much emasculating him when he's always portrayed such a strong character and he has so many more skills, and you've seen them on TV, and this is what you do with him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other, you're drunk, go home.
Mm-hmm.
This is a superstar, and there's actually, I think some people are going to rake me over the coals with this one, but I'm really sick. I'm really sick of John Moxley.
I was sick of him after the first three times he started bleeding on TV for no fucking reason.
Well, this year in particular, because after he had to step up after Double or Nothing this year, he was supposed to take a vacation, and he had stepped up enough, right? But he just got more and more and more and more and more. And I'm like, dude, like, when can someone else have as much airtime as you do? You're on every flipping show except ROH. And then when he does go on ROH, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, quit taking spots for people.
Well, it's not taking spots from people. It's that they're, and we've discussed this before, and I think this kind of sums up all of your issues. These people are in positions because the company does not provide the best welfare for their talent, where the injury list after every pay-per-view is 3, 4, 5 deep. Doesn't even matter if they're from another company. Japanese wrestlers have been hurt.
Lately. Not been that bad.
Lately. Lately. That's that word.
Okay. From the last three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I attended two of the last three. There was like very minimal, maybe one person.
Wow. You know me. I just think even one person is too many.
I know. But the style of what they do. But yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's the, it's my You're Drunk Peoples. So round of applause. I hope that
there's been some collaborative, you know, I'd hope that people understand. If you don't, if you want to, you know, at me about something, I have an Instagram. She has all this other social media. Anytime we are not afraid of criticism. If we're wrong, please tell us why we're wrong. We'll tell you why we're right, but we'll have a dialogue. We're not afraid of that by any means.
Yeah. So our next category is our You Got Me Buzzing. This is a match or storyline you want to see next year. We do a lot of people fantasy book. We do that quite often. And unlike some people, ours have actually happened. Don't ask. Don't know why. What is one that you are looking forward to?
I have two because I feel like I have a storyline match thing, and I have a superstar that kind of needs. Oh, wait. Hold on. I messed up my thing. Okay. So, match and storyline that I want to see next year. Sorry, I thought I had two. I messed myself up. I went with Sami Callihan versus Jessica Havoc because it never gets old every time I see it. Like, if you've, you're probably only going to see it at Wrestling Revolver or some other place like that. Completely honest. It is not a faux match. And, you know, if you interact with them on their Twitch, if you watch their character work at Impact TNA and the other places they've been, and you see that kind of gang up, it is kind of gimmicky, but it's also hilariously funny. And it's just a good time watching those two work together, because you can tell, like, in a weird way, when a couple gets it, like, that's a couple that gets it, you know. And watching Sami Callihan, you know, take the fall, getting Tombstone Piledrive, just kind of makes me smile. And I'm absolutely a Sami Callihan mark, which is why I said, you know, Revolver as being the place to go for that. Now, I apologize. I realized that I messed up my thing. So I thought I had two. I only have one. But a really, really, really kind of tie-in second, if I were to throw it out there, is I would love to see more done with the Death Dolls as a storyline, because that it came out of nowhere and it hit me in the face with a level of nostalgia. Sure, it's Bill and Ted's excellent wrestling adventure, but it's two of the craziest gals on the planet and they pull it so well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear my actual one was? My actual one was Sami Callihan versus Jessica Havoc.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see it again because they are so good.
Yeah. I mean, anything. I mean, almost anything that she does is I fucking love. Same with him.
She's a pro.
I know a lot of people don't like him, but
I don't care. Bad. That man is a game changer.
That man is.
Like that, the whole hacker gimmick the WWE was trying to pull, Sami did it first. Sami did it better.
Yep.
And that's not the only time.
Oh, yeah. No. I actually, in a weird way, with his promotion, I kind of like the fact of him and Mox teaming together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he has control, like, of the book. He knows better.
That is like perfection right there. That's like probably for me, best Mox is that.
Well, yeah. You know, once the show's over, I got some things to tell you.
Oh, yay. Gossip, dirt, you not getting it here.
Oh, no. a future guest.
Oh. Okay. So, for me, there's a couple of things.
Okay.
I want to see Danielson Sabre Jr. too.
Okay. I agree.
It was not a submission. And I think that has to be the stipulation. It's like the win, it has to come via submission.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, the knee.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. To me, that's not a real win. So that I definitely want to see. And I will make sure that wherever that happens, I want to be there. Unless it's somewhere like very expensive as far as airfare goes. But anyways, that I want to see. The other match also involves Danielson. Uh-huh. But I want to see Starks get his fucking win over Danielson finally.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get it and then all this shit happened. But I really want to see that. Just like how Ed got his, but with Ricky and all of those matches this year, I think that, yeah, you didn't pin me. He never pinned him. That Ricky needs his day. Every dog has their day. So that's one I really want to see.
That I think that's a very fair statement.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting to me that Danielson, he's really like, for him in his last, and this is since it is his last year, those I think are the two that, you know, need to be, I think, tied up before the end of his run.
Yeah.
And you know, I have a feeling that his last show, they will make sure that there's a pay-per-view in Seattle. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, be there.
Let me know.
Let's see. Give him a chance. Somebody you want to see get a bigger push this next year.
Okay. I alluded to her on episode one, Erica Damia. That's AIRICA DEMIA. There's some very young talent, but as I said, she's obviously been trained for a long time now. Her gimmick, it's, you know, it's very anime, it's very, you know, weird, but at the same time, she makes the character work and the in-ring work make sense. And you can find this lady on YouTube. Some of her matches are up there. She did a daddy-daughter match where it was her and her dad tag teaming against another dad and daughter or some gimmick. And it was just like, oh my God, this is so cool. And they did a vignette beforehand where there was some sort of pseudo romance between her and the guy, and the dad disapproved, and it was just so over the top in a very anime way. And you can tell he knows nothing about this, but it works so well. She knows what she's doing, and I want to see her buy a push. I want to see her get out there on the indies and make a bigger name for herself than she already is.
Very good one. One of the ones that I have, there's a catch 22 with it, mm-hmm. is the one who I strongly feel, and we'll talk about him more, but I've talked about him on episode one before, is Brian Keith, the Bounty Hunter. It looks like he's been doing a lot more ROH. Mm-hmm. Is he signed? As far as I know, no.
No.
But he's had such great, that match with him and Orange Cassidy. And let me tell you, I haven't seen Orange Cassidy like step it up in quite a long time. That's a beautiful match. Because
they worked together before.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you worked together with someone before. But that was, you're taking Orange out of the same stale elements that he's in and building upon. So I think that it's very, it's a good choice and it's very impactful. The sad part about it, why I don't, is because then we might not see him as much on the indies anymore. Because look at Lee Moriarty. I mean, because he really doesn't do much, but he was on the indies. I mean, he was on West Coast for a while. And, you know, and any chance he gets, he comes back. But, you know, I think that that's Brian Keith, the Bounty Hunter, is one. And then actually, I'll even go and say Lee Moriarty, too, because I like the fact he's with Shane Taylor. I hope that Shane Taylor, again, that's another person who gets that push, because Shane Taylor is that awesome. And I don't know, did you see the match with him and Keith Lee?
I did not.
Okay.
Sadly, no.
It did not disappoint, one. And two, it's a testament to how much like Shane has stepped up his game. He looked tiny in comparison to Keith Lee. Where if you go back and look, that never was the case. They were almost like equal, or he was a little bit bigger than Keith Lee. But damn, I was like, God damn, I've never used the word, and I actually told him this, I've never used the word tiny in when describing him. And I told him, I had to laugh. I said, because you look really tiny against Keith Lee. And he goes, I am not tiny. I said, I know. Yeah, I said, isn't that weird? But I said, go back and look at yourself. I mean, really look and say, yeah,
well, tiny Keith Lee is a word to say, because that, I mean,
it was a big difference. And I think that those three men right there have the potential to do a lot of damage and bring a lot of eyes to not just the ROH, but in general to that product that is in a positive light and something that it won't feel forced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you can tell when it's being forced and it's being, and I use the term corporatized. It's not two guys that have a chemistry doing things. It's, well, you're going to work with this guy, go do things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that the latter is corporatized.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, it's, I think it's, you know, for me, those are three. I mean, another one that I know, because Brian Keith told me this, but because obviously from Texas, you know, Shane Taylor's based in Texas now. They've had a lot of matches together. So he told me to go look up some of them because they've had some really bangers of matches. So I definitely want
to
go back.
We'll have to put them up and do some watch alongs.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
That might be a thing. We pick a couple of matches, me and Mark.
Mm-hmm.
make the show up, do a special.
We've done those before. We've done those before. And they've worked out pretty damn well. So let's see here. Well, this one's kind of hard. The sorry to see you go, the person cut or you're going to miss the most. The thing is, not a lot of people were cut. That's just the wording I don't really necessarily like in this one. Because obviously you and, well, Marsh is not sorry to see Sean Spears retire. You know, I don't know.
I've never heard of him. I actually have a name.
You do? Who? Mm-hmm.
Schultz the Handsome One.
Oh.
Schultz is a huge part of the EU scene, and he's finally getting his last match, his retirement match. He's finally done. And this is just a guy who's put his blood, sweat, and tears into the business. And if I'm understanding right, he's going to be taking a backstage role somewhere. And that's kind of his transition. So he's getting one last match. And this guy had it all. When he says he's the handsome one, he's pretty. You know, he's not just pretty. He's got the athleticism of Rick Rude, but with an attitude similar to Gunther. So it was just so much there. And I am sad to see him go. And, you know, it hurts me. Hurts me deep.
Yeah, I was trying to think of who, of what I watch. Who was really cut from anything? To be honest, there's some people I'm like, ugh, great. That means you're going to come on the indies hardcore. But I think of the product that I watch, I want to say, let me think. This has been a very hard one because, you know, most people have gone away on their own accord. But I guess if you really want to say someone who was, I don't know. It's hard because I really don't think there is anybody because everyone's either left because they wanted to leave or whatnot. And honestly, I really couldn't think of anybody. I mean, but
that's fair.
Yeah. But I think the one really, if I will say, and it's a controversial thing only because they've really, since they've taken their hiatus, they haven't been around, is the Bucks. I like the Young Bucks. A lot of people don't like them. I like the Young Bucks. And, you know, I personally feel that, you know, they are really they're kind of the ones that I kind of put the blame on the Spot Monkey Wrestling, because that's what they do. Yep. I personally, myself, like, you know, that stuff's fun to watch, but, you know, at the end of the day, do we need that? Not always, because there's such a big Lucha Libre, like, push out there that we don't really need that necessarily. So, but I do, in my own weird way, I do miss the Brothers Jackson. And you guys can at me at that, because I actually do like the Young Bucks, so... Yeah. And I miss the old Bucks, the Bucks of old. Okay. I miss the old Young Bucks. So,
like, there is no shame in liking someone just because I particularly don't like them. Whatever. I mean, that's fandom. It happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, hey, it happens. So, I guess our next category is dressed to impress. Who has the best gear? Now, we should always also, on this other end of the spectrum, too, There's a lot of really bad gear. So I don't know why we didn't get negative on this too. But
yeah, well.
Well, who did you say who's got some of the best gear?
Kyrie. Particularly her stardom gear. Kyrie Sane is amazing as a performer and as a talent, and the gear is always spot on, very on point. It's flexible, fashionable, functional, and you want to see it again, and you're not going to see the same gimmick twice. So that's where it is, and in particular, the stardom gear this year.
For me, with best gear, it's more of presentation.
Okay.
And I think that as a whole, and including Julia Hart, House of Black has some pretty legit badass shit that they can do.
I hear you.
And, you know, and it's one of those ones where even like with Brody doing his, you know, solo stuff in the Continental Classic, because he swung a little bit off from the normal, you know, trios aesthetic. It was more tailored toward this is that, you know, the Brody King that I know from the indies to when he was like managing Julia and he's in his like little, like Brody King playing dress up, you know, just that style and everything.
You made it look good, don't lie.
Just, it looks really good. Julia, amazing. Like, I mean, it all as a package works.
If the only successful thing AEW ever produces is Julia Hart, there's success in my book.
Yeah. Even Sky Blue, what they're doing with her right now.
Yeah, but it's...
But Julia, though, was the...
Whole different level.
Yeah. Julia is definitely a whole different level. Other gear that I want to give some honorable mentions to, let me tell you who I think has the worst gear. The worst gear has to be Blackpool Combat Club.
Mm-hmm.
For as much TV time as you get, Mox always looks like a bum. Eddie, come on, Eddie. You're wearing fucking two belts. Come on, Eddie. I mean, no offense. I mean, that's his charm. Big Bill, dude, you're wearing a fucking belt. Come on now, man. Step it up. And I'll even say, this is going to shock people. Ricky Starks, in your ear. First of all, I've said this before in episode one.
No, you haven't. You've never said a bad word about him. Don't.
Well, this is where I've said bad. I think about Ricky. I'm not lying. His trunks. Whoever makes his trunks, and it's that global wrestling gear guy. He started making for him his trunks in NWA. He made the pair that he won the TV title in when he won it at Hard Times.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fit him right because either his ass eats the shorts or they're too small. His ass is in there, they're too small because then he's always pulling the front of them and it's, you know, it's kind of distracting. Okay. Now, of course, you know, I noticed because that's me, but I've had other people who don't normally notice and they were like, why is dude pulling on his pants? Like, well, shit, if you, yeah. But also his old gear, the person who made it was Miss Sandra. She put it, because she knows he's got fucking ass back there, but she put a little gusset thing in the back and the butt. So what does that do? It kind of holds it in, right? And gives it just a little bit of lift. But you never, back in the day, you never saw him picking his fucking trunks out of his ass. You never saw him pulling the front because his trunk's going to fall out. You never saw that. You never saw that.
You know what I'm going to find funny?
You do. And him wearing white all the time, either looks like a diaper, or I used to say this about Zack Sabre Jr., sometimes it can be a little pornographic. I'm just saying. Just saying.
All I was going to say is watch. He's going to actually look at this episode and he's going to call you out.
No, I've talked to him about this. He knows my disdain for that. he was like, well, why are you looking? And I go, because sometimes the camera angles are so shitty. If you go back and look at some of these camera angles, yeah, they catch you in these moments, and whoever's in the truck, you know, they're not paying attention. Because there was one time that it was on dark. I told him, I said, everybody almost saw your balls. That's not a good look. I don't, you know, thank God it wasn't on national TV and it was only on YouTube, but still, dude, like people don't want to see that.
That's fair.
And that is very fair. And a lot of people are going to be, why are you complaining about that? It's just sometimes, you know,
that's how you get removed off TV, really. Like,
I'm only trying to help him out. Okay. I'm only trying to help him out.
Want to see him more, not less of him.
Yeah. But also, I will give an honorable mention to some good gear to Sammy Guevara, because he does get new gear quite often, especially when it comes to also even doing like special one-offs here and there or pay-per-view. Ricky was doing that and then he stopped. I was very underwhelmed at Full Gear, very underwhelmed at Wrestle Dream, because he recycled the outfit that he wore at Revolution, which I liked. Mm-hmm. The trunks did fit a little bit better, I thought, but not completely better. But because it still sags. So, you know, when you got a peach like that, you got to accent that shit. That's all I know. It's good for TV. Looks good. It's good.
Right.
When it's not, no. Yeah.
So now we are at the behind the scenes. Best story that wasn't on TV, or person that you like their charity work?
Well, you know, with charity work, it's weird because you really can't. They don't. I mean, there's some attempts that like some of these companies do, but I always feel like the one who does it the best is really WWE. But I feel that because John Cena isn't around as much, you don't hear about that as much anymore.
He has the most make-a-wish granted ever. Like, he's number one.
Yeah. But I will say that I think probably if we were to look at, like, really one of the best stories that you really didn't see on TV. And I think that this year for him, it's very big, is Big Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that with him being very open about his past, and I think that that's not only just helped him, but I think it's helped a lot of other people as well. Yeah. And especially to have him, like, I think he was the face, wasn't he like the face of like Mental Health Month in October? Because I remember there was a couple of times where I saw him
doing some places, yes, but I know he does a lot of work with that, as he's, you know, and we can all thank the real one, Enzo Amore, for helping him get his shit together. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that, which says, you know, the lesson of Big Bill. Your real friends will stand by you when you're making money or you're not, when you're good and when you're bad.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think that for him, that's probably the biggest, for him, it's the biggest highlight. And it's also nice that he now, he's a belt, but he's got a platform of something that, you know, that for him, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, he like lucked out or anything like that. I think that this was, the timing was right for him.
And yeah.
Not everybody gets that. And you can see that.
Yeah. So. He took his time. He did some independence. He worked at Impact. And then he moved on up. They've got him on AEW now. He, from where his career was, which it was shattered. He was fired. It was over with. To now he's back on the horse and off the wagon. And we all should be giving that man a big round of applause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was hoping he'd be on the Jericho Cruise. But if he's on the Jericho Cruise, that means someone else has to be on the Jericho Cruise.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. They haven't announced the lineup, and this is the first time that they were going in. It's less than a month away, and they haven't announced who's wrestling.
It's New Japan all over again.
Yep, exactly. So who is yours?
I'm going to double dip the well, but it's in the same vein. Recently, Jessica Havoc, and predominantly a lot of the Impact ladies in the locker room, were very passionate about mental health, and she's been, you know, very upfront about some of the things she's went through and some of her trials and tribulations. And she's like, for effect, did you know Jessica Havoc had wrestled Luna Vachon?
Really? No.
She's been around a while, and she's paid her dues and then some, but she's also been through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and for her opening up about that, and especially, like, if you watch her church community, she is very, you know, she's loving as she can be to that, but her community is fostered around that idea of mental health supportive community, and that's because that's what she's developed in her personal life. So, you know, seeing that on other podcasts and things of that nature, and her being, you know, giving herself out there, you know, because telling your personal story, the shoot person, that's hard.
Yeah.
But doing it to tell it to help other people to know they're not alone, that's a whole nother level.
Yeah. She's an amazing person. She's one of my favorite people. And a lot of people give me shit about that, but I'm like, she's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, I don't care.
And, you know, but, you know, it's like, you have to really, like, understand sometimes, like, with certain people, like, why they're favorites. And I will even say, you know, if you like Phil Brooks, you know, I don't know why, but you know what? I'm not going to damn you for that. You can like Ocean Spray. Again, I don't know why you would, but I'm not going to sit there and, because that's what you like, you know? I don't like when people try to tell me, like, I need to like something because
I can it back, you know? To the 80s, okay? You had some people who were big into Roddy Piper. You had some people who were big into Hulk Hogan and all this other stuff, but back in those days, the one thing you could always say is you appreciated each other as fans. And we've kind of lost our way in that degree, but that's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. And I will say this, and like I used to say many moons ago to people, that back in the day, like when I was doing my indie stuff, it wasn't really until end of 2017, maybe, that... Actually, I'll say beginning of 2018. That's when Twitter, the IWC on Twitter, or the IWC in general, became shitty. It never was like that. All the pettiness and the, you know, and whatnot. Yeah. And there's some key players out there that I will point fingers at who still fuel the flames.
There's a reason they call them the dirt sheets. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but some of these people are just like, anyways, they're people, but anyways, but yeah, no, I will say this, I do miss, and this was funny because I actually had a conversation with somebody about this recently, is I actually miss having, Cody, honorable mention, with his pro wrestling tea store when he was in AEW, anytime there was some kind of like, I don't know, Pride Month, it was, you know, Black History Month, whatever. He had some kind of shirt, okay? Went to charity. I thought that was brilliant, okay? I missed that. I'm a little bitter because, you know, he never got around to doing AAPI month in May. A little upset that, you know, the Usos and Roman and all that, they don't do anything for fucking that month and give proceeds to, you know, Asian American Pacific Island Heritage Month. Come on now.
Well, To be clear, not everybody posts about what they do and what they give back.
Well, I know, but the shirts though, that's a big thing. I would do that,
Which would you rather have? Them to be posting it on social media about a shirt and, you know, making it a whole thing, or them behind the scenes giving everything that they need to make sure the cause is successful?
Well, obviously the other, but there are some people who don't, and even that's a minimalistic thing. So, but it's just the awareness of with fans and stuff, like, oh yeah,
that's fair. But yeah, it's totally fair. As a side part of that though too, is you don't want to get involved in too many things and too many causes, because then the causes start owning you.
Yeah.
So that can be a problem too.
Yeah. Now I do say, and I'm going to give a shout out to Righteous Reg out there when they come out with the their version of the PWI, the Black PWI. I will say that I think it's pretty awesome. There's what I like is it's not one gender and another gender. It's a mix in there. So I think that's pretty badass. So, I think that's really great. And it's funny because it also this year stirred a little bit of controversy.
Producer Lady here. Thanks for tuning in. Continue to support and buy us a drink by putting the I in subscribe and reviewing our podcast. And cheers to Fans First Sports Network for keeping the dive bar lights on.
I would never have a drink with wrestling on the rocks.